John chapter number 21. I'm going to let you rest this morning, but let me get started. Verse number 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. I love the word again in the scripture. You might say, well, Pastor, I failed the Lord. Let me tell you something. He can help you. He can use you again. Our Lord is in the again ministry. Then the Bible said there were two together. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught, what's the next word? That's what we'll catch without Jesus. Nothing. We can't do anything without him, amen. We need his help. We need his direction. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I don't know if it was because of the distance they didn't know or because of the darkness. I do know this, when you get around a body of water, lots of times there's like a fog in the early morning. You understand what I mean? I don't know why, but they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And then said Jesus unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that would have been John, he saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. John walked so close to God that he knew there was only one in the whole wide world that could tell you where to throw the net. And the Bible said, it is the Lord. John said, it's the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded about his fish's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. I was noticing something this last week as I was here at the church. Last Sunday morning's attendance was 177. And if I'm not badly mistaken, that's the biggest crowd we've had since we got hit with COVID. Amen. I was thankful. I don't know how many's here today, but I'll find out after a while. But you say, Pastor, why did you mention that? Well, if the Word of God thought enough to mention exactly how many fishes were in a net, don't you think a pastor ought to be interested in how many people Amen. Is in attendance? Amen. God's thought so much of numbers, he put a whole book in the Bible Amen. Called Numbers. Amen. Now notice what he said here. Now that's not our motive. Our motive is love. Our motive is the Lord. The Bible said here, bring ye the fish who have now called 153, for all there were so many, and yet was not the net broken. So it was kind of a miracle that they caught that many, and it was kind of a miracle that the net held up, and it didn't break, and they were able to get them all in. How many's ever caught a big fish, and I mean you had it right to the boat, or you had it right to the shore? Honey, you was done tasting it. And it either throwed the hook or it broke the line. How many's with me? Amen. Now, all they needed was a good-sized hole there in that net, and them fish would go back out in the sea. But the God held it together. Now watch this. Jesus saith unto them, here's our text, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. You know something tonight, or this morning, let me say this to you. I believe there's a multitude of people in the world and in America that know it's the Lord, but they don't know the Lord.
Amen.
They know it's the Lord that wrote this book. They know it's the Lord that died on an old rugged cross. They know it's the Lord that rose again the third day. But the question this morning is not, do you know it's the Lord? The question is, do you know Him? Do you know the Lord? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? Has there been a time in your life when you took sides with God against yourself and admitted you as a sinner and you knew that you needed Him in your heart and in your life? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. Now we're going to get to the business. You see, Jesus says, come and dine, but He's got something on His mind. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? There was a time in Peter's life when Peter said, though all of them forsake you, I'll go all the way. So I believe Jesus is saying, do you love me really? Do you love me more than these? You said you did. You said you'd go with me all the way, even unto death. And yet Peter forsook Him. Peter denied Him. Peter warmed his hands by the devil's fire and denied that he knew the Lord. Let me say something to you. God is gracious not only in salvation, but He's gracious and dealing with His youngins when we need to be dealt with.
Amen.
Jesus might call you to dinner, but He might have a whole lot more than dinner on His mind. He wants you to be close to Him again. He wants you to have fellowship with Him again. Notice what the Scripture said. He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Wouldn't you be thinking something like this? Lord, don't you believe me? Don't you believe me? He was grieved in his heart and his spirit. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. And let me say this morning, he does. He knows who's here. He knows why you're here. He knows what you need. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. God will help me today. I want to speak to you for a few minutes on this subject. Come and dine. Pray for me, would you please? Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here at Bible Way. God, I can truly say from the depths of my heart, I'm glad you led us this way. Lord, as Brother Joe's laying over there in his living room, getting ready to go to that home that he's looked forward to for many, many years. How we pray, God, you'd make his crossing easy. How we pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, just comfort the family today. How we pray, God, for this service, Lord, that you would just come down among us, our Father. I pray, dear God, that somebody would hear the voice of God, hear the words, come and dine. Lord, I'm glad the Master's table is available to each one, our Father, that desires to fellowship with You, to know You. God, I pray today that You'll speak to our hearts. We'll give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Three simple things in the message today. And before I say any of these things, I need to back up. I should have said this earlier. But I've talked to Brother Keith Hutchinson. And on November the 19th, he's going to come and be with us in both services. And we're going to call it a day of Thanksgiving with Brother Keith. And we're going to print up flyers. We're going to go and pass them out in the neighborhood. Some of you can take them to work with you, amen, and invite others. And he's going to come and tell us about the trip to Africa this time. I've got a picture on my phone of a dry riverbed that looks like it's a quarter of a mile wide. Right in the middle of it, it looks like a bomb hit. There's a hole in the middle of the riverbed. And they've got jugs taped to the end of a stick, and that's how they get their water. They reach down in that hole in the middle of the riverbed. I got a picture on my phone of the dear lady that Brother Keith's wife, Sandra, gave the quilt to. And I've asked the quilting ladies to try to maybe have two or three next year they can give her so she can take them across to Africa and give them away again. Amen. It'll be wonderful, won't it? But I wanted to mention that to you. I know you'll be looking forward to it. And Brother Keith actually was scheduled to be somewhere else, but he said, that pastor's pretty flexible. Let me check. Amen. I thank God for a man. God put that in my heart, a day of Thanksgiving. All right, here we go. Come and dine. Three simple things. We need to know something, number one, about the man who was doing the inviting. About the Lord Jesus, the one that's doing the inviting. I believe there's several things here in the Scripture that God would want us to know about this man who's doing the inviting. Number one, he knows where the fish are. See, Jesus, yeah, now you're seeing that in a physical sense. But see, I'm applying it spiritually as well. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He knows where the fish are. That's why he told us in the Word of God to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Because that's where the fish are, amen? And God wants us to go fishing with Jesus. Something about the man who's doing the inviting. I love this. He knows how to build a fire. Well, glory to God. You can pump it up and prime it up all you want to, but there ain't but one God that knows how to build a fire. He can build a fire in a heart, and he can build a fire in our church. He can build a fire in our community. And dear God, there's hope. He can build a fire in our country. We can have revival, amen, and turn again to the God of heaven, amen. I'll tell you something this morning. There's people sitting right here. And I'm telling you, you've let Smokey Bear pour water all over your fire. But there's a God in heaven. I'm telling you, beloved, he can build that fire again in your heart and in your life and cause you to come out of there saying, I'm going to go for God. Amen. Ain't got much time left. Surely, if you're paying attention, you know this thing's being wrapped up in a hurry. What we do, we must do quickly. The night's coming when no man can work. Thank the Lord for Jesus. He knows how to build a fire. I'm going to tell you something right now. I picked up on some things as I read this time and studied. Listen, it's morning. And I don't care if it's morning in July. Peter jumped in that water. And when Peter got to the shore, Brother Mike, he was glad to have the fire kindled. I guarantee you he pulled up next to that fire and got warm, amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, you go to Hungry Mother Park up in Marion, Virginia, and you get in that water at daylight, you'd be glad that somebody had a fire built, amen. Yeah. Jesus knows how to build a fire. And then I'm going to tell you this. For the sake of alliteration, Jesus knows how to prepare the fixings. Hey, glory to God. I don't know what perfect fish is. I love fish. I wasn't going to say nothing about this, but there's a certain man in this church that asked me several weeks ago if I was ready for some more fish, and I'm pretty sure I answered in the affirmative, but I still ain't seen them, amen. But I got a feeling that after today, it won't be long. Brother Doyle, I wouldn't dare tell him your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, oh, he brought me some catfish. Boy, I'm telling you what, that's catfish, wasn't it, brother? Man, I'll tell you what, this cat liked them. I can tell you that right now. Amen. Good stuff. Now, Brother Doyle, you still love me? Amen. Amen. I tell you, I appreciate Brother Doyle and Sister Diane. They're a blessing. Glad God sent them our way. But let me tell you something. Jesus, he knew how to prepare the fixings. I don't know, Brother Grizzle, what perfect bread is. I ate a piece last night that was real close. My wife made some sourdough bread, and it come out of the oven hot. And I ain't never done this before. But I said, honey, would you just take the end off of that thing, and would you put some butter on it, and then would you sprinkle honey all over it? And honey, that honey was good. I'm telling you, that bread, I'm telling you what, I could eat half that loaf. I didn't, but I could have, amen. I'm just telling you, this bread, whatever Jesus fixed for these old boys, was perfect. He never did anything that wasn't perfect. This fish wasn't overdone. It wasn't underdone. I'm telling you, when it come off them coals, I'm telling you, it make your tongue want to slap your brains out. Amen. Perfect. Jesus knew. I'd want to know something about the man who's doing the inviting. I'd want to know something about the cook, wouldn't you, if I was invited to come and dine. Secondly, this morning, I'd want to know something about the men who are invited. See, it wasn't only Peter that was invited. If you look over there in verse number 2, they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. I'd want to know who's going to be there. Amen. You say, Pastor, why would you want to know? Well, I could either look forward to it or dread it. Y'all didn't get that, did you? I could either look forward to it or dread it. Amen. I'd want to know something about those that were being invited. Let me tell you a little bit about them. One had a problem with failure. His name was Peter. He had failed the Lord miserably. And yet Jesus invited him to come and dine. One had a problem with failure. One had a problem with faith. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I touch the prints of the nails in his hand and put my hand in his side where the spear stuck him. Jesus said, Peter, or Thomas, reach hither thy hand. The Bible doesn't say whether Thomas did or not. I personally don't believe he did. I believe when he heard his voice, he said, my Lord and my God. One man had he's going to dinner, but he had a problem with failure. Another man had a problem with faith. Let me give you this. None of these men had a problem with fellowship. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? They fished all night. But look at the word here. Chapter number 21 and verse number 2. There were, what's the next word? Together. These men were from different backgrounds. They were on different spiritual levels with the Lord. And yet, they were together. It's untelling what God could do if God's people just walk together and realize, beloved, everybody's not where I'm at and I'm not where everybody else is, amen, but God has something for all of us to do together. None of them had a problem with fellowship. They were together. But I'm going to give you this. I love this. God put it in my heart last night. None of them had a problem with fame. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Well, look, notice Peter's name is mentioned. Thomas's name is mentioned. Nathanael's name is mentioned. The sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John. And then the Bible said, two other of his disciples. See, if they had a problem with fame, they would have said, well, he didn't call my name, so I ain't going. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus invited all of these men to come and dine. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad I serve a Savior that's no respect of persons.
Amen.
He knows that some of us have failed. He knows that some of us have a problem with our faith. And yet he says, come and dine. Come and dine. We know something about the man who is inviting. We want to know something about the men who are invited. And then thirdly and lastly, in the message this morning, if I was invited to come and dine, now this is just me, maybe that's not you. I mean, I would just have to respectfully, if Jesus said the menu is Chinese, I'd have to say, Jesus, I'll catch you the next time. Amen. That's just me. Maybe you like Chinese. I'm not talking about the people now, I'm talking about the food. But I want to know something about the menu. A little while back, it's in the process right now. We set up a welcome center. A little while back, I went to see a printer. Brother Adam helped me with the layout. And we're getting a trifold track or information booklet, if you want to call it. It does have the gospel on the back of it. But it's going to tell about all the ministries of the church. We're going to talk about the Sunday school, the children's churches, the choir, the quilting, and I can't name them all, but the van ministry, just going to talk about all of the ministries of the church, just exposing people to what's going on. You know, somebody might want to get involved.
Amen,
amen, Brother Charles? Okay, I'm just picking on him back there. Amen. He thinks I can't see him, but I can. Amen. But listen to me. I gave it to my wife. I wrote a little sentence or two about each one of the ministries. I love this. Brother Mike, my wife read it. She said, you know what? There's a lot of food in here. Glory to God, we're Baptists. We got a reputation to hold up. Amen. In other words, in exposing those ministries, Brother Ronnie, there's a lot of food in here. A lot of times we're having food. Amen. I heard a Christian comedian say one time, he said, in the world, they just say we're going to pig out. Said in the church, we just say we're going to have fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's about right. Amen. I want to know something about the menu being offered. Fish and bread, that was the physical menu. Fish and bread. I'll say this to you. As Americans, we're spoiled rotten. Most of us have way more than we need. My wife will say to me, I dare say, every day, what do you want for dinner, honey? And you can ask her what I say to her. Whatever you want fixed, baby. You see, when you've been married since 1979, I'm not doing the math, you do it. Amen. When you've been married since 1979, thank you, Brother Wayne, 44. That's a magnum too, Brother. Amen. 44 magnum, Brother Wayne. When you've been married that long, she already knows what I don't like. She knows better than to go in there and fix Chinese. There's not much that I don't like. But let me tell you this. I thank God for a woman that wants to fix me what I do like. And I believe Jesus fixed these men what they like. Need something about the menu. But there was also a spiritual menu that Jesus had in mind. The spiritual menu, give you three things quickly and I'm done. Jesus wanted to have fellowship with his men. I want to tell you something, there's nothing in the world that would take the place of fellowshipping with Jesus. I love rubbing shoulders with God's people. I do. I love fellowshipping with God's people. But don't ever let the fellowship with God's people take the place of fellowshipping with the Lord Himself. He says, come and dine, because He wants to... There was fellowship on the menu. He wanted to fellowship with His men. Secondly, there was forgiveness on the menu. Peter needed to know. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are saved and you're sure you're saved? There's ever been a time in your life you needed to know that He had forgiven you, would you?
Yeah.
Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. I serve a Savior that specializes
Amen.
In forgiveness.
Yeah.
Specializes. The Bible said over there in the book of John, if we'll confess our sin, this is written to Christians. He's faithful. He's just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These boys saw the fish and they saw the bread. But Jesus saw something more than fish and more than bread. He saw fellowship. He saw forgiveness. I wrote this down last night. It came to my heart. The enemy had a fire. And at the enemy's fire, Peter had warmed his hands. But Jesus, Brother Jason, He had another fire. And at His fire, Peter warmed his heart. I believe Peter's heart melted in this conversation. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. It just now dawned on me something that Jesus is saying there. He's teaching us right there that we're not all on the same spiritual level. Some are babes, some are lambs. We had a bunch of lambs up here singing for us this morning. But Jesus is letting Peter know they all need to be fed. The sheep need to be fed. The lambs need to be fed. There's fellowship. There's forgiveness. And then there's something else that was on the menu. And Peter and Thomas, James and John, Nathaniel, the two other disciples, they had no idea it was on the menu. But that was faithfulness. I don't believe, Brother Lowell, there's any way you can walk away from this dinner and not want to be faithful to that one that prepared the meal and said to those men, come and dine.
Amen.
In the end, I read this again yesterday, and I've read it before, but I read it by different sources. History teaches that Peter, in the end, he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. He wanted them to turn Him upside down. I don't want to be crucified anyway. I'm talking about physically. But Peter didn't even deem himself worthy to die like Jesus. One dinner changed these men's lives. Peter comes away from this dinner. He's doing a different kind of fishing now.
Yeah.
Brother Jason, you mentioned it a while ago. I bet old Peter thought, man, I thought 153 was something. Here comes 3,000. And I believe you don't go far and there comes 5,000. Ain't that right? Here they come. The seed's being sown, Brother Brad. The people are taking Jesus into their heart and into their life. Because a group of men heard the Son of God say, come and dine. The songwriter, I don't know how much of it I could remember, but he said, come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. I'm not going to be dogmatic about this. I'm finished this morning. I'm not going to be dogmatic about this. But God put something in my heart yesterday. I believe it's of the Lord that I've never thought about before. Brother Ted, the only way Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The only way I've ever seen that text in my life up until right now is written to a child of God. But you know what? I believe it applies to the lost as well. There was a day I got hungry. I got hungry for this forgiveness. I got hungry for this fellowship. I got hungry to know that possibly I could be faithful to the one who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, I tried to fill up on everything else, and it all left me empty. But I believe with all of my heart, blessed are they that hunger. You want forgiveness? Are you hungry for it? You want fellowship with God? You want to know your name's written in heaven? You want to know when you're facing the end like Brother Joe is right now? You want to know that heaven will be your home? God said you're blessed just because you have that hunger to want to know Him. But I'll tell you, that hunger will never be satisfied till you come. Come and die. Them boys could have stayed on their little boats. They could have said, we ain't got time to fool with you. We got fish to clean. But honey, I believe they're glad in the end that they came to Jesus.
Amen.
And that they dined with Jesus. Let's bow for prayer.